So I'd like for you to play a little imaginary game. Let's pretend that instead of God giving the Ten Commandments as the way that God's people were going to know themselves to be God's children, and instead God gave the rules for basketball. You can just imagine there at Sinai, God saying, "I am the Lord your God, and I love basketball. If you're going to be my people, you are going to play basketball. And these are the rules, and this is the way by which you will know that you are my people, and I will be your God." A little bit absurd, isn't it? But if that were the law of the day, the rules by which God's people were given to live by, then there are some folks that it would work really well for. I think a lot of folks that follow NBA would say that, oh, now I just dropped. I can't believe I forgot his name. LeBron James. I was just watching, and they were talking about the series, and they said, yeah, most people recognize that he is probably the best basketball player right now. And so if indeed these were the rules that governed our life together, LeBron would be king. And if power and status, even wealth and all in everything in our society was based upon one's ability to play basketball, he would be the richest, the most powerful, the most well-known. And folks that are playing NBA, et cetera, professional basketball, they do pretty well. When I think about how I would do in that society, I'm kind of limited by my height. On the other hand, I'm pretty quick and have pretty good hand-eye coordination, so I'd probably do okay. But certainly, the shorter you are, and the slower you are, and the less coordinated you are, then the less this kind of ordering society would work. Now, this is kind of an absurd analogy. And part of the reason it's absurd is because, at least for me, the God that I know just doesn't arbitrarily decide to give a set of rules. Instead, this God that I know is actually interested in life. But the rules that God did give, the Ten Commandments, were, by the time Jesus was having this conversation with the Pharisees, for hundreds of years, it had been the main identifying mark for the Jewish people. Because in the societies that they were living in and that were surrounding them, there was no day off. You worked and worked and worked, and of course, if you had slaves, you just worked and worked and worked your slaves. You worked and worked and worked your livestock. It was 24/7, just doing whatever you could. And God said, no. Remember when you were slaves in Egypt and how hard you worked? One of my gifts to you is that there will be a day off for you, but also for any slaves and servants. Anyone you have influence over, anything you have influence over, is going to get a break. You can start to see this loving, caring God who desires for us to live life. But yet you have this really strange episode in the gospel where you have the Pharisees who were kind of the super law keepers of Judaism. They took pride in being very, very clear what was lawful and what wasn't, and kind of looking in every situation and figuring out what constituted work and what didn't. And so one of the things that constituted work was harvesting of any kind. And so plucking a grain from a field, that would have been considered work. But on the other hand, if something came up and you weren't able to do the food preparation or do the harvesting you needed so that you'd have food for the Sabbath, all of a sudden you're in this situation where on this day where God wanted you to rest and really be in touch with God's goodness and the blessedness of God and to enjoy relationships of family and to dwell on God's word, instead you're sitting there and starving because you didn't, for whatever reason, weren't able to get the food, then you were forced to do that if you adhered to a strict interpretation of the law. So also then when he goes in the synagogue and he encounters a man with a withered hand, it says the Pharisees were watching him because in their scheme, where it said, do not do any work on the Sabbath, it meant that you couldn't do something like heal somebody else. If I had a withered hand and someone said it can be healed, it's like, please, as soon as possible, allow that to happen. But in this law-oriented way of understanding things, the Pharisees, instead of recognizing this as an act of God, as recognizing it as something that was good and beneficial, instead added more fuel to the fire and proof that Jesus was somebody they had to go after and discredit. How could they have gotten to such a place? Part of it is, when we think about the way we order our society, again, I use that analogy of a basketball because it's so absurd, because it's easy for us to step on the outside and go, isn't that absurd? But we have our own ways that we order society. And I tend to trust that most folks that are about that, especially when it's God, that their desire is that society really works. That people have the opportunity to have good, healthy relationships. There's an opportunity to work and to get the resources that they need. It really is a way of ordering our society, our community, so that it works for the people of the community. But then once you start ordering things, and you start setting down rules and regulations and laws, it's hard. It is incredibly hard to get them to apply to every situation. And it's so easy to go from, okay, we're doing this in order that society works for everybody, to get to the place of, this is what we have to do, this is what we can and can't do, et cetera, et cetera. And if the good of society becomes less important than just following the rules, then we can end up in very weird places. And this was the conversation, the challenge that Jesus was having with those Pharisees. They were so obsessed with following the letter of the law that they forgot why the law was there in the first place. And so when Jesus poses them the question, is it lawful to do good or to do harm? Is it lawful to save life or kill? It hit them right in that place where they had lost their way. And they were trapped by their obsession, by this wanting to hang on to this system of laws, so much so that not only did Jesus get angry at them, but they got angry at him so much that they wanted to kill him. Now, these Pharisees clearly had lost some clarity about what was going on with the law, but it's also an easy step to get to the place where that what they were really attached to more so than the law was this system that worked for them. As the Pharisees, they were kind of pretty high up in this law-abiding system. They had power to say, yes, what you've done is good, or no, what you've done is bad. They were respected. They had power. Even there's times where it's clear they kind of used the laws to get out of taking care of their own parents. Something had gone adrift for them. And I would say one of the things that had them get so angry is that Jesus was challenging the very system that they were really invested in, that they were attached to, that worked for them, where they had power, where they had prestige, where life was good for them. This is where it starts hitting home to us. We don't live in a system that's ordered by the rules of basketball. And even, you might say, our society isn't officially controlled or litigated by the Ten Commandments. But we do have laws and systems that we live by. You might say the games of our life. And most of those games have to do with kind of playing the, doing business well, doing work well, managing your finances, all that kind of stuff. But what do you do when the system that we're playing, if we put that above everything else, and we lose sight of God's intent for what is going on, that is where we are challenged. It is so easy for us. I mean, when I think about it, there's so many privileges, blessings that I get simply because I'm a white male and well-educated. And I happen to grow up in a good family. I mean, there's so many things that are just because of who I am, society kind of works. If we think back to, again, most of my historical references are to the States because that's where I spent most of my historical time. But there, when there was slavery down there, it kind of worked for the slave owners. It's like these people want to get rid of slavery. No, it'll upset our economy. They should know their place. This is the way it's supposed to be. You hear the attachment to the system as opposed to, and even the hardness of heart to fight against those that would work for justice, that would work for the dignity of every human person. We have our own versions of that today. And our challenge constantly is to stay awake, to recognize the places where we are attached to things going a certain way because it works for us. And God's question, God's challenge, God's commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, are always above the laws and land of our rule, of our systems and games. When what we're called to do goes against that command to love, when it goes against that calling to look out for those for whom the system doesn't work, then we've lost sight of what God is up to and hence who we as children of God, as Christians, are called to do. Jesus went up against a system. He went up against these folks that ordered society along those laws, strictly adhered it to the detriment of people quite often. And he challenged it. And because he challenged it, and because of the hard-heartedness, I love that word, the sclerosis of the heart that those Pharisees had, they saw no alternative but to get rid of him. It takes something to work for peace, to work for justice, to work for the good of all. But when we do that, we align ourselves with Jesus. We open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, and it begins softening the hardness of heart that we might have. May we always be asking the question, how can we be a brother or sister? How can we be a neighbor to the person in front of us? And when confronted with stories that challenge the way that we like things to work because they work for us, may we have the ears to hear. May we have the openness of mind and of heart to consider their experience and to figure out a way how we can work together to have health, healing, peace, respect, dignity, community relationships, freedom, joy, to have all of this be available to all people. The Sabbath represents really that image, that desire that God has for us. A place of shalom, a place where community is alive and well, true community, and where peace and blessedness of life are available to all. May we keep our focus on God. May we work for peace. May we be open. Amen.